So the most common mistake of people who come to me is like they just don't know where their money goes. They literally don't. You know, they could make a lot of money, easy six figures income, high six figures, and then they just don't know. They still live paycheck to paycheck. They just don't have a basic financial awareness.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome to Weiss Advice. It is so great that you are here joining me. My name is Yona Weiss. I'm your host. And with me today, I have Christine Tad. Thank you so much for joining me, Christine. Christine is a financial coach, a money coach, and now a LinkedIn coach as well. She has been really making waves with LinkedIn Live and doing a lot of amazing things, teaching people about financial freedom. And, you know, it's something that I'm very passionate about. I know a lot of people are passionate about. So I love to speak to others who are in, you know, in the tax profession, but also care a lot about, you know, helping other people kind of get into their own financial freedom. So thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Yona, for inviting me. And that's a great introduction. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've come a long way, right? I mean, you started out, maybe tell us a little bit about your background, because it sounds like you've done a lot of different things to bring you to where you are today.
Yeah, so I started my financial coaching business in September 2016. So I was still working full-time. I had a full-time job. And then I would never, if I had to advise anyone to start a side hustle first, if you're going to try entrepreneurship. Because first of all, you don't know anything. If you like it, if you don't know if it will work out, you still have so much to figure out. Okay, so I mean, it's not easy. Entrepreneurship is not for everyone. You have to be a constant hustler. You know, yeah. Like it or not, the reality is you have to be a hustler. If you don't hustle, you don't make money. You don't make money, you don't eat. You have to have a different mindset, because if you have an employee mindset, you know, oh, I like the steady paycheck and I hate hustling, then it's not for you and it's not for everybody. And so I love it. I actually love hustling.
But you, I mean, you worked as an employee for a while. So, you know, You worked for some very large corporations, right? Doing financial, you know, data and data analytics and all kinds of auditing and different things like that. So at what point did you like get that bug where you're like, I got to get out of this and just on my own?
So September 2016, I was working at Visa still. I was in my previous career, which is data analytics. I was doing that for like at least 10 years. That was my first real career right after college. I finished my undergrad in computer science, totally unrelated to finances, but then it gave me a good career. Yeah, so September 2016, I think I had my spiritual journey. You know, I hired a life coach, a spiritual coach, and then I was like, yeah, I realized I just wasn't happy with my career. This isn't what I want to do 10 years, 20 years from now. I just wasn't really into it. You just know when you're like, oh, this is not where I want to be. So I think finally she told me, like, you know, why don't you try doing this, you know, financial coaching on the side, because you love money, you love especially personal finance, not corporate finance. So I started doing that. And then like later on, like 2 years, I think 1.5 year later, then I was like, I still wasn't ready to quit my job. So then I thought, okay, maybe, because I love the steady paycheck and then I love the security of a full-time job. So I decided, why don't I switch career in my full-time job to something in finance? So I went from data analytics to corporate finance. Wow. I was in financial, corporate FP&A, financial planning and analysis. So I was handling a large budget. You know, it's Visa, it's a huge company. Yeah. So we all have large budget. So I did that for a year and then I was pretty excited because, you know, I'm in a whole new career. Learning new things. I was like, wow, this is so cool. So I was very happy the first year, mainly because I was learning everything new. It was like whole new, from data analytics to financial to in the corporate FP&A. That's like two different worlds. So I did it for a year. And then what happened that triggered me to finally start thinking of quitting my job was that my boss who hired me left. I really like him. He took really good care of me. After he left, there were a lot of reorg. I was pretty much bumped into like 3 different managers. So it was, you know, I mean, nobody likes, every time you have a new manager, you have to adapt, because end of the day, it's like, it's about pleasing your manager, right? So you have to learn the style of your manager. And then I hated that. It's like, oh, that's your style. I have to adapt to that style again. And then finally, a couple of months later, I have another manager. It was just like, I think at one point I was like, you know what? I hate doing this. I don't want to be like, you know, at the mercy of what corporate is going to do, because you have no control. You have no control of your company. I mean, not company, of your bosses, of your boss. And then you're at the mercy of all of this. So I decided, you know what? I think it was, I quit my job May of last year, but it took me like a month to decide. So, you know, I think March I started thinking about it. Wow. And then it took me like a month to, like, you know, pros and cons. I was talking to a lot of people. I do post about this a lot because I do get naysayers to tell me not to quit my job. But because, you know, like, you have to understand, they're talking from their place of fear. These are people who will probably never leave their job because they're afraid. And there are people who has been successful also say, go for your dreams, whatever. So I had to weigh the pros and cons between these two. But end of the day, what feels right for me. So when I went over my pros and cons, I actually really sat down, looked at my finances. You know, I really look at my retirement modeling. Can I afford to do this? Can I quit my job? What if I'm not profitable the first year? So I went through that. You know, I make sure I have enough money in my emergency fund to survive for a year. I was like, okay, why am I not profitable? So I went through all of that. Finally, after a month later, I said, okay, I'm going to quit my job. You know, I'm going to give it my all. And then the worst case scenario, I'm just going to go back to corporate. So that's how I told myself. So then I gave them 1 month notice. So April, 1 month notice, May 3rd was my last day. So I just passed my 1 year, you know, it's now June. I went on LinkedIn Live and then say, this is celebrating my 1 year anniversary.
That's so amazing. It's been great. Yeah. And I love that. I love about you that you like share so much of your journey on LinkedIn. I mean, I love LinkedIn. Don't get me wrong. It's my favorite platform by far. And I do the same thing, but I see so few people really taking advantage of it. And you kind of came in just like, you know, power is like coming and sharing so much, not just about your journey, but also sharing like tips about actually how to use that platform. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. I do share a lot about LinkedIn, about money and money mindset and inspiration, because I'm all about, because money is so connected to life. So I like to talk about life too, self-growth, inspiration. Like today, I did a post about positive affirmation, like I love and accept myself. And then it's kind of, you know, it's sort of fitting to the current events. So like, how do I love and accept myself? You know, I pride in my power. I take ownership, you know, and then stuff like that. So it's very hard for you to take care of other people if you don't love yourself. So that's kind of, it's sort of connected to the current events and also connected to, you know, like to self-growth. You have to love yourself, because like end of the day, it's very hard for you to improve if you don't have that basic self-awareness and then basic self-love, because like you need to have that great relationship with yourself too. Then it makes you want to have a good relationship with everything else, because if you love yourself, why do you want to treat yourself badly? Right?
Yeah, 100%.
So it's just, yep. So I'm a big component on that too.
Yeah. We have in, you know, in Judaism, we have this, you know, beautiful saying, and everyone knows this because it's been taken upon Christian, you know, the Bible, love your neighbor as yourself, right? Everyone knows that. But if you look at the actual language of that verse and what that teaching is coming to share with us, you know, one interpretation of that is love your neighbor as yourself. You have to first love yourself, right? And when you can love yourself, then you can love someone else as you love yourself. But if you can't begin to love yourself, and that's just reminded when you're saying with these positive affirmations, it's so true, because, you know, that's really the first step. It's like the foundation, and you can't build a building without a foundation. And that's really what life's about. So I appreciate that, you know, that you're sharing a lot of this. What are some of the things that you see people making mistakes with the most when it comes to money and financial, you know, or lack thereof of financial planning?
So the most common mistake of people who come to me is like, they just don't know where their money goes. They literally don't, you know, they could make a lot of money, easy six figures income, high six figures. And then they just don't know. They still live paycheck to paycheck. And then, so they just don't have a basic financial awareness, you know? So that's for money. That's the most common I see. And then like, you know, they always think that, oh, I can afford it, but really they can't afford it because they're not very aware of their finances. And then for LinkedIn, I think the most common is like sending stupid spammy messages. Like, see, like my clients, most of them come to me. And then when I do send them messages, not spammy messages, not like, hey, Yona, oh, cool. I see you're this blah, blah, blah. I think you might, do you need financial help? Whatever. Here's my number. Schedule a time. I think I can help you.
I think that's great. I think that's great. You know what? I start doing that at a certain point. Also, like when someone sends me a spam message, like I'll just spam them back. Right? I'll send them back a spam message, right? Which I would never do that, like sending out people like 10 paragraphs or even like two paragraphs of like what I do before even talking to a person, before even like getting to know them or following their content, something.
Yep.
It's just something inside of me once just like got to me. It was like, you know what? Anytime someone sends this, I'm just going to send them back like 10 paragraphs. Yeah. And we'll just like meet in the middle. Like it's a standoff, you know, like.
Yeah. No, I do that too. When I'm in the mood to just have fun, I will totally do that. Like sometimes like you get random message, like, can you write me a recommendation? And then at first, instead of getting annoyed, I respond back. It's like, yeah, sure, I'd love to. As soon as you send me $100 to my PayPal account, I can send a link to you.
Yeah, like why should, I mean, I don't know you at all. But the best thing, I post a lot on LinkedIn also. I'm very, very active. And so when someone like reaches out to me with a connection request and then they ask like, well, what do you do? Right. What do I do? Like, just come on, just look at the profile. That's why it's there. Right. I spend a lot of time updating my profile so that.
And the header, read the header.
Right, the header. But then like when someone will ask me, what kind of content do you post about? Like, what do you mean? Just look. Like, what kind of question is that? So someone just asked me that question recently and I literally just responded. I like to get to know my new connections by their engagement on my posts. Exactly. Right. So you comment on my post, I'll get to know you. And that's like, you know, it's a win-win really. Like if you really want to get to know me and you want me to like use your services, maybe eventually I should, you know, I'm not necessarily going to see your content, especially if you don't put out any content, but you don't have to put out content. You can just comment on other people's posts and that's fine. And you can do that on mine. So let's start there. And that's kind of how I like to go about doing it. So that's a great tip. I mean, I can't stand those spam messages though. But that's awesome.
That's why I think content creation is so important, because then that's how will people know you? How will people know your brand? Because I know, okay, there's two types of LinkedIn experts. Like, yeah. One is like they sell you how to build leads and stuff like that. And you know what they do? They will teach you Sales Navigator. And with Sales Navigator, I mean, you can be very targeted at it, but then the theory around that is really mainly around sending messages and value. So you're just building through their direct messages. Mm-hmm. But then again, it's like you're not really building your social media presence because it's just at the confines of that messaging. So I'm not a big fan of that. I know some people, you know, they're very good. That of course, it's a numbers game, right? The more you send out, of course, you're going to get something back, right? It's like a shotgun effect. So I'd much rather focus on content creation. And that's what I teach. And that's what I teach in the online course. Like, you know, like build the social media presence, build your personal branding, let people get to know you, show up, be public. That's like your chance there, like for people, everyone to see you.
For sure. If you're just going to do like, you know, the lead generation and sending messages, that's no different than any other, you know, than cold calling or email marketing. But social media has such a head above the rest because you have that brand awareness, you have that presence that you can get in front of people by that content creation. And so why waste, you know, the space with just the cold messaging? And I like to call that, you know, social media. It's called social for a reason, right?
Exactly.
You know, someone who doesn't use it right, I like to call them, they're socially awkward, right? They're social medially awkward.
Yeah. It's like, I think social media is great for introverts or extroverts too. But then for me, I feel I'm more an introvert because like, I'm just very talkative when it's like more one-on-one or like with just people I know. But you, if I go to this networking event, I don't know a lot of people, I just start to shrink. I'm like, I don't know what to talk to these people and I don't like it. So for me, I love social media because then you're still at your home and then you can interact whoever you want to interact and then be, you know, you're comfortable with. So to me, it works perfect. And that's why I think I'm very successful on LinkedIn because I love it. And then it just came naturally for me. I start interacting, I start posting more and then I just kind of grew from there. And then it just works for my personality. And now I'm trying to focus on growing on Instagram too, because I want to be really good at two social media, just two, because I think more than that, then you're going to have to hire someone else. Like, I don't know how people keep up with so many. Like, Gary Vee has a lot of staff. Like, you know, he doesn't have time for that. But
no, he's got a whole team. He's got, like, you know, a couple hundred people working for him. Speaking of Gary Vee, and actually, I'm glad you brought that on Instagram, because I was literally just today, and I was going to post today. I almost posted this. I just got too busy, and I posted something else instead about Instagram, because I obviously see the value there in that platform. I've totally, like, focused last 2.5 years, like, you know, 90% of my energy has been in LinkedIn, and I think it's been beneficial in that. But I truly believe, like, once you know something and you have systems in place, then you can start to expand. I think Instagram is a great platform because there are so many different people on there that don't even venture into LinkedIn. There's a huge audience base. In fact, I spoke to one of my clients a few weeks ago for cost segregation. He's a realtor. He runs a large real estate brokerage, not large, you know, mid-sized in California. And he was telling me, I asked him, hey, why aren't you on LinkedIn at all? He's like, oh, I don't really like LinkedIn. Like, he literally doesn't even have a profile on LinkedIn. He's like, I'm big on Instagram. Oh, I'm like, oh, interesting. What do you like about Instagram? And he said, you know, I like that, you know, you can comment on other people's posts and you can interact with them. And then you can kind of watch other people and people who are like influencers. You can get to know them a little bit through their content. And I'm like thinking to myself, that sounds exactly like I would say the exact same thing about LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
So it just occurred to me, it's just really about, you know, I should probably just like jump in and start like slowly, just like I did at LinkedIn a couple of years ago, just like a little bit every day, just kind of watch and see what other people are doing and then kind of take it from there little by little. What's your approach on that?
Yeah, I just feel like with any social media, the same philosophy and same algorithm is the same. It's the same across. The foundation is around engagement. This social media platform, they want you to stay on the platform. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as possible, they want you, hey, like those YouTube content creators, they have such great audience, they have a lot of clicks, you know, they get paid money, right, if they apply for that. But because they know how to keep people on the platform. So they reward people who keep people on the platform, by the algorithm is meant to reward you so they can keep being pushed. So same thing, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, it's all the same basic concept. But then the problem is that you only have so much time to invest in a platform, right? So you literally have to spend, like, maybe if you really want to grow, you really have to dedicate 1 or 2 hours minimum each day to just really be there. I mean, as serious, if you really want to grow, you have to really dedicate that. And then I don't think there's any way for you to just, like, keep splitting time in between. So that's why I really focus on just LinkedIn. And now Instagram, I mean, I still dedicate time to LinkedIn, but I'm spending more and more time on Instagram to try to, I show up every day there now on the stories, on the, you know, posts. Like, oh, LinkedIn is actually publishing stories in a bit. Like, my next door neighbor works at LinkedIn. So they push it out to, they say, other countries already. And then now, recently, they're testing on the employees of LinkedIn. So eventually, it will get pushed out to US. But I don't know when yet. But it's being rolled out slowly.
That's good to know. That's really good to know. And that's, you know, something else. You know, these platforms are all evolving. And, you know, I've seen LinkedIn evolve over the past couple of years. And LinkedIn Live, right? You have that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like it.
It kind of rolled out recently, and that's awesome. So if you're not following Christine already on LinkedIn, I'm going to make sure in the show notes, put her profile there. She's awesome. She puts out amazing content. She's got over 50,000 followers on LinkedIn. Let me ask you a question, and you don't have to answer this, but do you use any sort of like automation for LinkedIn or any type of tools, anything like that?
No. It's so funny. I just had a friend last week or this week, and then last week he told me, he's like, have you heard of Lempod, L-E-M-P-O-D?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, sort of, but then I don't really know how it works. And he said, I signed up for Lempod. And then I said, oh, tell me more about that. And then, like, it's actually, he was explaining to me how it works. I was like, oh, wow, really? Really? And it's like, it's kind of cool in the way that it works. Like, all these users and then the account will actually automatically comment for you. But then I warned him, if you get banned permanently. Yeah.
It's not only banned, though, but it also, besides for just, you know, the risk of getting banned for using those type of things, it also really kind of takes away and waters down from the quality of content. So I'm really against those type of things. I think
And I want authentic engagement. So it's like, so that's why I don't hire a VA. I know people like some big influencers to like hire VA to comment and to engage. And then, but for me, it's like, but then you lose the authenticity. Like I like interacting with my audience. If they comment, I was like, oh, like, and they're like, it's like you're having a conversation. That's how you grow your network. That's how you socialize. It's like, then what's the point? Unless like people who are VA, their main focus is just on business. Like they're not there to really know. So I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like hiring VA. I don't like any bots, any automation. And then that's against the terms of contract with LinkedIn. So you have to be careful. If you're going to do that, if you get banned, then bye-bye to all your followers.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to risk losing my 54,000 followers. So no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
I mean, you can tell. You can tell when someone who knows, not everyone can tell, but you and I can tell, you know, when there's someone out there who's a quote unquote influencer and their engagement is totally artificial. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate to see that, but it's great. I think you've done an amazing job and continue to teach people like that. I admire you for what you've done and continue to do. And you just rolled out, you know, LinkedIn course as well. So check out Christine for not only financial planning, financial coaching, but LinkedIn coaching now too. So that's awesome. Hey, before we get to the final four, I just want to tell you about Streamlined Podcasts. Okay. I could not have a podcast if I didn't work with Streamlined Podcasts. As simple as that. These guys are my go-to. They do all the editing of these audio pieces that you guys are hearing. And I really couldn't do anything without it. I literally tried to start a podcast for about a year, and it was just daunting to me to spend time writing show notes, to do the audio recording, editing, taking out the ums, the ahs, the spaces, everything. These guys make it sound so crisp, so clear at such an affordable rate. And for my listeners and my listeners only, you're gonna be thrilled. If you're ever thinking of starting a podcast or you have a podcast, check them out at streamlinepodcasts.com. Set up a time to speak with them and use promo code Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, and you can get 20% off your first month if you do end up signing up with them. I guarantee you it's gonna be worth your while. So I wanna jump right into the final four.
Okay.
What is the worst job that you ever had?
Oh, God. I think it wasn't necessarily the worst job. It was just the worst manager. Okay, if you had the worst manager, you will hate your job. Okay, this manager literally is like a helicopter manager. Oh, I hated her. Oh, even now, like, I still, like, when I think about her, I'm like, I'm getting nightmares. So that was a visa. That was a visa. So literally, like, I'm a salaried employee. So you don't count people's hours when they're salaried. But literally, like, sometimes I leave at 4, but her office is, like, right in front of me. So she can see when I leave. So we meet weekly. No, actually, weekly or bi-weekly, I don't remember anymore. Then she won't say anything. But during our weekly meeting, she'll be like, so I noticed you left at 4 p.m. on one day, but I didn't see you leave at 6 p.m. on another day. And so I was like, oh my God, that was like, I was so glad when I switched career, like I left that job to find the FP&A. So I was so happy to be out of her. It's like, she was just like the worst manager I ever had. I ended up hating my job because of her. I don't really hate the job. It was just like, I just hate working for her. She's a good person, but I just hate having her as my manager. And then the other thing also was that she would talk in her language, you know, in a foreign language, in the shared office. I shared it with a colleague. Because I have a shared office with someone. And then, you know, so whenever she comes in, she'll talk in their language right in front of me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that was just like basic rudeness right there. So anyway, that's my bad experience.
Yeah, that sounds like worst job environment for sure. That takes the cake.
Exactly. Yep.
So what's a book that you've read or listened to that's given you a paradigm shift?
Yes. So actually, the author, he came on my live stream. He's a financial psychologist. So if you haven't heard of him, he's Dr. Brad Klontz. So basically, he wrote the book Mind Over Money. What's really interesting, I shared a post about this too. So he did a study, control group A versus B. A is like, they taught them all about just mindset, money mindset, passive affirmation, money scripts like that. Control B is like all about practical finance, like teach you about savings, about debt, about investments, all practical financial literacy. So what they found out after a couple of weeks was that control A saved 70%. Control B saved 20%. So that study show money mindset alone can really make a huge difference. So that's why when I teach or when I coach my client, I really have to marry that part into the practical aspect. I don't do one over the other. I marry the two because like you can't be successful in one if you don't have the other. So I have to do that as part of my one-on-one coaching. So yeah, it's called Mind Over Money.
Brad
Klontz. Yeah, and he's a connection of mine. And then and I have interviewed him. I have a video of that on YouTube and on LinkedIn as well. If you guys want to look for that or message me, I will send you that link.
We'll put that in the show notes, the link to Dr. Brad Klontz, Mind Over Money. Awesome. Yep. And that interview. Okay, so third question for you is, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
Video editing. I've never been very good at video editing. And then like, and you know, one of, I don't know, he's your connection, but he's Jonathan Palmer. So you probably know him. But anyway, I tease him, like he actually went on my LinkedIn Live. I tease him, you know, when I first saw your video, I thought you were Aquaman. Did Aquaman lost his way on LinkedIn? Like, did he came on LinkedIn stumble by accident? Because he literally looked like Aquaman. So Jason Momoa. Wow. So he's the Jason Momoa of LinkedIn. So anyway, so he, so his video is really good. So I really, I just want to learn to be really good at that. So even iMovie, whatever, I just want to know how to like, you know, do cool stuff on the video. But that's the next step. Like, yeah. I know I'm very stubborn about like hiring it out. Because like, I really want to learn. That's like my investment. Like, I really want to understand that. So that's why I haven't hired anyone. That's also part of it because like, I really want to learn stuff. I want to know how to do it. So then, and that's why it's very important for me to have very good time management skill. As an entrepreneur, you have to be. You have to do time blocking. Actually, a friend of mine just posted and tagged me because like he interviewed me about that as well because his specialty is about time management. So yeah, time, we're talking about time blocking. So, you know, however many hours, two hours, you have to know that. Otherwise, then you're going to spend the rest of your day not doing anything if you don't time block.
It's going to just run away from you. The whole day is going to run away.
Yeah. Or you're going to be on LinkedIn 8 hours a day. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That could very well be. So that's awesome. So video editing. And I think it's important, you know, once you can learn something like that. And I think for what you're trying to do, that's really cool. Because then, it, you know, once you understand that, then you can kind of hire someone to control that, how you understand it already. So that's much better than just kind of hiring it out. You end up paying a lot more if you really just hire someone to begin with.
Yep. And if I know it's just basic, simple stuff, I can just do it myself. So right. I'd rather learn that.
Exactly. No, that's a good point. Especially nowadays, there's so many tools out there that are either free or inexpensive that, you know, allow you to basically streamline the process. You know, you're not going to be a world-class movie producer. But for, you know, for simple videos that you need to post on social media and stuff like that, you know, there may not be a reason to hire someone. You know, obviously it depends on everyone's situation, but.
Exactly.
Fourth and final question for you, Christine, is what does success mean to you?
Yeah. So for me, it means to me, like I have my own schedule. So I feel pretty successful now. And in terms of, because like, you know, I control my schedule. I don't have any more bosses. Like I will never want to have the.
So happy. She's so, if you're listening to this and you don't see the video, she's like, has a smile from ear to ear. So happy.
Oh God. I will never want to have a manager. Okay. So my own boss, like I've been profitable. My business has been going well. And I love that I'm always able, like any new ideas, I just go for it. So it's just like, I don't know. I just love entrepreneurship. So if I don't have dogs, because I have two dogs, if I don't have dogs, I would pretty much travel around the world and be a digital nomad because I can literally work from anywhere. So eventually I will want to do that. So yeah, so I feel pretty successful. I think you're living a life you love, you know, you're happy most of the time. And then you're just living life on your own terms. So to me, that's success to me. And also, I made this up, you know, your happy money number. Because some people think I need millions of dollars, but you probably don't need that. So you have to really look like how much do you spend? Like, what is your lifestyle? How much does your lifestyle cost you?
Yeah.
And whatever you're doing, will you be able to afford that in retirement? Are you doing the right things? So I feel pretty good. Like I already have my plans. You know, for me, my lifestyle isn't very expensive, but I do live a lifestyle I love. So yes, for me, that's what success means to me.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Christine. It is a pleasure speaking with you as always. How can our listeners find you? And obviously we're going to put your link to LinkedIn here. So that's probably the best way. But what's the other best way to find you?
Yeah, so it's either my website, which is Teh Financial Coaching, my last name, T-E-H, financialcoaching.com. You can schedule a call with me there and read all about other stuff there. And then LinkedIn, of course, find me by my personal account, Christine Teh. And then I'm also on Instagram, Teh Financial Coaching. I'm also on YouTube, Teh Financial Coaching, although I don't have many subscribers. So if you want to support me, please go there and subscribe. So, and I am on Facebook business page, but my two main social media I'm very active is LinkedIn and Instagram, but I am in all of those platforms I just mentioned.
Awesome. This has been a pleasure, guys. Thank you for joining us today. Get a little bit deeper into, you know, understanding money and financial planning and, you know, the whole importance of using LinkedIn, which is really so underrated and so important. If you're not using it already and maximizing, you just gotta pick yourself up and get into it. And if you need help with that, guess who can help you?
Thank you.
Okay, guys, thanks again. This is Yona Weiss. Christine, it's been a pleasure having you on. And to our listeners, remember, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.